The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Now, Europe has barely emerged from one of the most intense heat waves ever recorded, with temperatures soaring above 40 degrees, thousands of excess deaths reported, and scientists describing it as a historic event. But now forecasters are warning that another spell of extreme heat is set to grip large parts of the continent in coming days. Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times, joins us now from Spain. Good morning, Naomi.
Hi, good morning, Pat. Great to be with you.
You normally report to us from the city, in other words, surrounded by concrete, and city temperatures tend to feel even hotter than maybe seaside temperatures. How's the temperature with you this morning?
It's not bad at all, but there are quite high temperatures forecast in different parts of Spain starting from today. It's kind of a mixed picture. So there are areas which are normally very temperate, places like the Basque Country and Galicia and parts of northern Spain that are forecast. They have weather alerts and they're forecast to receive really high temperatures from today, and also parts of the southeast. And one of the issues is high nighttime temperatures. So nighttime temperatures that are like between 25 to 27 degrees, don't go lower than that, which is very hard on people. That doesn't give you an opportunity for your body to cool down or for the building to cool down. So it makes the heat really relentless.
Now, you saw what happened in the cities during the most recent heat wave. What sort of things do you recall as being quite anomalous?
So I reported a fair bit on the effects of the heat wave in France, where it was really dramatic. So you had temperatures of well over 40 degrees in Paris, and in other parts of France, like 43, as high as 43 degrees, which are extraordinary. And at nighttime, the temperature wasn't below 25 degrees in urban areas. And just to give context, normally 25 degrees is the peak June temperature in Paris. So that's the daytime peak. And instead of that happening during the day, that was the minimum temperature at night at like 3 a.m. And those kind of conditions for a city that's built for maximums of like 15 degrees lower are really intense. So what you saw was people widespread practice of blocking out windows, often using emergency blankets, which are like a tinsel type of blanket that blocks the sun and reflects it back out. There was a kind of scramble for air conditioners and fans. They were sold out everywhere. And it had terrible effects in hospitals, as you can imagine. Lots of public buildings don't have air conditioning. Schools were closed. Thousands of schools were closed. And lots of people who had to continue their jobs in the heat were overcome. There was a bus driver who crashed because he was overcome by the heat, and, you know, teachers collapsing, and really difficult conditions for medical staff and patients as well in hospitals.
And rather than try to catalogue each and every one of those extra deaths, they just look at what is the normal death toll during a typical June, and then they compare to what happens, and they know for sure there are excessive deaths which have been caused by the temperature.
Yeah, the figures they have so far are partial, because it takes a little while to count all the deaths. They're counted in different ways. But the figure we have now is over 2,000 excess deaths, so more deaths than would be expected during the heatwave period. And this is because people who are elderly, people who might have conditions like diabetes or any kind of chronic condition, and also young children, anyone who's dependent on carers to look after them, they're particularly vulnerable to heat. It's about whether you and your body are able to cool yourself down sufficiently. And some people aren't. And then their bodies overheat and it can actually lead to death. So in Paris, you had remarkably high number of heart attacks, way above the norm, and emergency services were really busy bringing everyone into hospital. Lots of public events were cancelled to make sure that the hospitals weren't overwhelmed because so many people were running into difficulty with the heat. So it's very serious. Across Europe, the figure, I think, is from, well, it's not all of Europe, but it's so far in France, Belgium, the Netherlands, it's about 3,800 excess deaths from that heat wave. And we are expecting more heat waves to come. It is very hard on people's bodies, and it's physically difficult, and the cities are not set up for it.
Now, you had the head of the Green Party on television in France saying they should be putting air conditioning in schools and elsewhere, which is interesting because they would be normally opposed to the use of air conditioning because it uses energy, and in many countries that would be fossil fuel energy and so on. So it wouldn't be a green idea to have air conditioning. They would propose that you redesign buildings so you never need air conditioning.
Mm. So there's been a really interesting shift that I've observed in the debate there. So the idea of air conditioning was very politically divisive, partly because the far right, the hard right, had adopted it as a cause célèbre, and they were calling for air conditioning for all kind of way before this, which kind of forces other, you know, parties to take positions accordingly. But the left wing and the Greens in general had been cautious about air conditioning because, as you mentioned, the energy demand that it has, but also because in cities in particular, it's very counterproductive because the cool air being pumped into buildings is counteracted by hot air being pumped out. Mm. And there were studies that showed that it would worsen, for example, the heat in Paris during a major heat wave by 2 degrees if it was widely adopted because of so much hot air being pumped out onto the streets. And that obviously has a very unequal impact. It depends on whether you can afford this thing or not. So it's kind of it's been contentious for ages. But I've noticed a big shift in that debate. Like you said, Marine Tondelier, who's the head of the Green Party in France, was on the television saying, you look at the Green Party, we wanted to prevent this from happening. Our policy was to prevent climate change, but it's here. That hasn't been successful. We are now dealing with the reality of it. So we need to focus not on preventing it from getting worse, yes, but also adapting to the new reality that we have. And that means air conditioning as part of the solution, particularly in places like schools and hospitals.
Now, is this a wake-up call? We had a massive heat wave way back in 2003, and so many thousands of people were recorded as excess deaths at that time. You'd imagine we might be slightly better prepared at this point, but do you think that this will just pass and come a moderate September, all the politicians will forget it ever happened and nothing will be done?
It always has extreme urgency while it's happening. And then, of course, you know, people's minds turn to other things. I do get the sense of a tipping point. We had a kind of a scramble and a race to pledge air conditioning units for schools and to pledge money for the overhaul of buildings. It became very real. And I think it became really widespread for people to talk about the climate crisis having arrived. And this idea that the climate that we grew up with, that we expected, doesn't exist anymore. And this is the reality of the new climate that we have because of climate change. And so that everything needs to be adapted to that. So there has been a sense of kind of structural and long lasting change. Like the mayor of Paris, for example, was saying, you know, Paris is going to have the climate of Seville in Spain, and they get temperatures of 40 degrees fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. And their whole way of life is different. So they get up earlier, they go to work, then they have a big break in the middle of the day when it's too hot, and then they return for a kind of second shift then in the evening. Yeah. And all sorts of things will have to change, from people's uniforms and stuff like that to hours of work and things like that.
Yeah, I drove through Seville some years ago, and I was in an air-conditioned car, and I stopped to get a coffee. I opened the door of the car and I felt like I was stepping into an oven. I've never felt intense heat like it in Seville. Now, it was around midday, but I never want to visit that again. We've got a comment here. I'm living in Madrid at the moment. The heat is profound. Walking just 200 meters feels difficult. Also, due to the low humidity, you don't realize how much you're sweating as it dries out so quickly. And yes, there are tourists still walking around. I lived in Alicante for 2 years, never experienced that type of heat while living there. Anyway, Naomi, I hope it stays temperate for you during the rest of your holiday. And thank you very much for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.